Ryan Huppy.
Jeff Slater, you are,
how are you, man?
You are on Huppy Hour. How does it feel?
Feels unique, my friend. How are you doing?
I am doing great. There is so much to talk to you about, man. I find you fascinating, Slater, because...
Oh, really?
What I find fascinating about you is I think you are the most universally liked person at The Bone, because, like, The Bone kicks ass in ratings. Everyone does well. But, like, people love, hate, listen to Drew, or people love, hate, listen to Calta. But, like... And people will go, oh, I hate Galvin's open letter, but they keep listening and they know every word of it. Or they go, oh, I hate Drew Garabo, but then they keep listening. But with you, man, whenever I've met a listener or whatnot in any situation or on The Bone Facebook page when you're out, everyone's like, where's Slater? What's Slater like? Like, you're the man that's kind of hidden behind the curtain of The Bone.
Sounds like you need to get it more out often and meet more people, because I'm sure you'll find some people that really think I'm an asshole.
I meant listener wise.
You can't please everybody, man. That just doesn't happen in radio.
I meant listener wise. Within the office, that's a different thing, though. Let's be real.
And I agree with you there.
So it's funny. There is Slater on air, and then there's Jeff Slater in the office, and Jeff Slater is a different animal. Like, the things you've told me when we've had discussions when I'm working on the weekend, or even the things you say when I fill in for the Calta show, if it's with a backup team or if I'm running the board, man, you do not have a filter.
Well, yeah, I know, and honestly, no lie, people know it's no big secret. I've been to the HR office several times, and I've had to sign the paperwork. And unfortunately, I don't have a filter, and I don't have an indoor voice. And I have found out I'm not a good person to have around open cubicles, because the person I'm talking to gets me, knows me, and knows where I'm coming from. I forget somebody is on the other side of that cubicle, and they're highly offended, and they go to HR. So, oh yeah, I can imagine what people say about me at work.
I remember one time, I forget why we were talking on the phone, but I was talking to you like a year ago. I think it was when you called me asking about Casablanca Barbershop being open. And then we ended up talking on the phone for like 40 minutes. And you told me that you got in trouble in like a Microsoft Teams meeting. So even through the phone, you're just being Slater.
Well, it wasn't trouble. It was just a reminder email on how to conduct oneself on a Microsoft team meeting. When I had my mic on mute. I mean, I don't usually have the mic open unless somebody asks me a question on those things. And I think I left it open and said something. It wasn't bad. It wasn't offensive. And honestly, was it about the coffee? Because I don't remember. I remember the email, but I don't remember.
You were doing some meeting with people from like Tulsa and Atlanta. Like, it was like all these different markets were in there. And then you said something, and then somebody from one of the other markets, like, I don't know if they hit up our PD or something, but they were like,
I made the mistake of saying something, put it nicely, wasn't a good idea. And I may have used a colorful word while saying, not a good idea. And people get offended. You just get the little smack on the wrist. But it's a learning thing, Ryan, you know. Therefore, you've learned and you don't do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you can only keep going up and up. Once again, so when you get up at like 2 a.m, what's the regimen? Because for me, when I get up at 3, it's just the alarm goes off. I take a shower. I put on some hip hop music, and then I don't really wake up until 2 p.m. And that's just me. I'm running a fishing show, so I'm like putting in the music, and then there's live shows from like 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. But for you, man, you got like the prime spot at 5 a.m. You are opening up the Mike Calta show and The Bone for the whole time slot for the whole day. So how do you wake up to be so good at what you do at such an early hour of 5 a.m.?
I think my routine is like everybody else who does mornings. Everybody has their own thing. I have an automatic coffee maker, and it's set to make 2 cups. And I've got one of those coffee mugs that looks like a nuclear reactor. And the coffee's going off at 1:50. And then when my alarm goes off at 2, I get out of bed. I mean, I beeline to the coffee and jump in the shower, takes me, you know, less than 10 minutes really to shower unless I'm feeling a little randy and went ahead south of the border and lather up for, you know, a little while. And, you know, and I allow time for that. You know, you've got, if you're going to spill your baby batter, you got to time that out with getting to work on time. And then I just won't shave. So, and I get out and I'm still drinking the coffee and run and get fed, give the cats their treats, and I'm out the door. And I'm lucky enough to live close. I don't have to drive across Howard Franklin Bridge or the Courtney Campbell or the Gandy or construction. So even if I get up and like I did one morning, I was terrified. I was standing outside at 2:50 and I had a dead battery. And I got to walk to work and it's 2:50 in the morning. And you're familiar with that convenience store that's right around the corner from the station?
Yeah.
I got to walk by that. And do you see the elements of people that like to congregate there at 2:50 in the morning? A majority of them are highly intoxicated or on some kind of narcotic, which I have no problem with. But doing it at a 7-Eleven. Oh, sorry, I said the word. I'm trying to avoid saying the store. Well, now we know where it's at. So I had to walk by that. And I thought, I don't want to walk in front of that 7-Eleven. So I crossed 4th Street and I'm walking. And you know where the Dunkin' Donuts is?
Yes.
That's where I decided to cross 4th Street. And there's that ditch right in front of the radio station. Well, it rained the night before. I'm wearing shorts and I've got sandals on. And I said, I can jump over that. So the ditch was just full of water, like a retention pond. Well, my dumb butt stumbles and I go in the water. And now I got to be at work, and I look from my knees down. It's coated in mosquito eggs and moss. And I could see stuff moving. And you know what a germaphobe I am. I couldn't get in that damn building quick enough and use that first bathroom. And I, you know, had to take a spit bath before I could even go up to the studio. I was miserable the whole day. But I'm just, what my point is, I'm close to work, so that happens. But my routine is just to shower, have my coffee, feed the cats, get out the door. And I'm there by 3:00. And once you walk in the door, it's nonstop. I know you've worked overnight. You've seen me. I come in, I go right in my studio, and I'm writing and grabbing audio right up till showtime.
I'll never forget energy that would be between you, me, and Ian Beckles, who is dead tired at like 4:50 in the morning when I would be leaving. And I'll never forget one time, it was like the Sunday after my last girlfriend dumped me. I asked Ian, what's the key to getting over a breakup? And I was like half crying. And he's like, Hoppy? And he like looks up from his notepad and he goes, we all go through shit. And then he goes back to writing down on his notepad and didn't say a word later.
And I think my response to you was, if you want sympathy, look it up in the dictionary. You find it between shit and syphilis.
I think you did actually say that. That was a rough morning. And I remember some of those mornings too, like Ian would just walk in and he was so generous. He would give out those dignitary cards that'd be like Paul's Pizza, and he would come to the other side of the board and like flip them at me and then just go back and sit down. He was the coolest dude ever.
I miss Ian, and that's one guy in this market that I really respect, and I'm happy for him and what he's doing now. And when he left us to go back to where he started at, he was kind enough and you know, cool enough to call me, which really to me I found I was honored. I said, here's a guy that's been in the Tampa market probably longer than I have. I've been here, I think, 20 years now, just about. And to have him call me to tell me he was leaving and I'm not his boss, I'm not a supervisor, that was very respectful. I thought that was cool. And Ian's just a really, you know, cool guy. First time I met him when I got the call on a Saturday afternoon, I got the call. Hey, we're making some changes to the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm like, well, as long as I'm still part of it, or what's the plan? I didn't know if they were bringing in a satellite overnight show. I didn't know anything. I just got a call. And they explained what it was. And they said, is it possible for you to drive over and make an appointment to see Ian on the weekend so you two can talk before 5 o'clock Monday? So I drove over to Ian's office over on Gandy and West Shore, yeah. Dignitary headquarters. And we just plopped down on the furniture and just sat there and bullshitted for 2 hours, had a few cocktails. And it was just two guys talking, you know. Found out, I know he's a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He knows I'm a Bucs fan. I mean, we sat there and talked football, talked a little bit about life and our careers and where we've been. And I said, man, I can't wait till 5 o'clock Monday. And I loved working with him. And I really, you know, I'm not toot my own horn, I thought we did something good in the 5 o'clock hour. I'd hope so.
I thought some of the good radio, I don't know if you ever sat in with Mike after it ended, but some of the good radio too was when Ian would kind of spill over until like the beginning of the Kelta show, and they would talk like Buccaneers, and he would hang out for the 6 o'clock hour. That was cool too when he would do that.
There were two people that I love when Mike brings them in, I mean, as coworkers, and puts them on the air, really. And Ian was one of them, because Ian always had a different angle. If it was a news story, Ian had a different angle. If it was about football, he would give his opinion. He didn't give a rat's ass who was hurt and offended. He didn't care. And he stood by what he was saying. And the other person I love hearing Mike bring in, just because it just brings a whole new light to the cast that's already in the room, the people working the show. And that's Miguel from Hot 101.5. Yes. Boy, when Mike's got a question about, you know, Miguel's gay. If Mike's got a question about a homosexual story or a lifestyle question, he brings in Miguel, and Miguel does not hold back. I mean, when he got on the air one morning talking about not eating Mexican food the day before a date, and how sometimes you got an enema to clean out, you know, your balloon knot before the date. I don't know if anybody was offended by that, but I was rolling. I thought, this is great. You know, I said, how do you get a guy like Miguel to open up like that? It doesn't take much. When you walk in the Bone Studio, you've been on Mike's show. Mike's called me in a couple of times. It's a whole different breed of cat of radio. You know, you don't feel like you're in a hot seat, or at least I never have.
And Mike
has a great way of opening you up and letting you be yourself and be comfortable. And the whole show does. Galvin, Carmen, Spanish, Joey, Geo. I mean, I've known most of these guys for a long time, obviously, and we're, I think, very comfortable around one another. But I've never walked in that studio and ever felt like I was in a hot seat. Or even if I was in trouble, I probably would be very comfortable going in there and talking with Mike about it on the air.
You don't realize how good Mike is. And this is not a shot at anybody, but I'm just being real. You don't know how good Mike is until you sit in on other shows. And then you realize how cool Mike is. You know what I mean? Like, you go, because then you go back to sitting in with Mike, or just even talking to him in a hallway. He's got that cool presence, and he knows he's cool, but he's humble. It's like he knows he's number one, and he knows he's immensely popular, but he's also grateful, and he's not like, do you know what I'm saying?
And he's also, what's really great, and you know, I commend him for this, and he does talk about it sometimes on the show, is his family life. I mean, he is happily married, got a beautiful wife, nice house, two great kids. He's very active in his kids' lives. You hear about it on the air. He's got a lot to juggle. I can't imagine being married with two kids and putting in the hours I do. And, you know, I don't have that devotion, I don't think, to anybody right now. And he does. And I think that's great. Galvin, too. Galvin has a wife. He's got a kid. You know, everybody has an outside life. But when you talk about the Mike Kelta show, and after you hear or work with other radio shows, I tend to agree with you. And what it is, and I'm not a program director, I'm just a dumbass radio guy with an opinion. It's the dynamic. It's the cast of characters, if you will, who know their place and know when to speak and when to respond and how to respond. And that comes naturally. That's not something that is taught in radio school. They don't tell you how to be a good co-host. There is a bonding. You can look. If you watch while you're in the studio, I can guarantee you probably see this. While Mike's talking, watch Galvin's eyes.
Yes.
I'll bet you his eyes are flickering or looking side to side as to who has got something, because you can tell. You judge body character, and he's already got something knowing Galvin right on the tip of his tongue. And it's gold. It's going to come out any minute. As soon as Mike takes that breath, well, or as soon as Mike pauses, Galvin jumps in. That's the dynamic, you know, that you have with a show like that. It's, and I honestly, I know I may catch hell for saying this. That's why I'm also a big fan of the Woody Show out in L.A. You and I talk about that show all the time. It's the same dynamic, you know, with Woody, with Gregory, with Ravy, Seabass, Menace, those, I mean, they work in the same dynamic is what I'm saying, you know, and it's entertaining for the listener and times educational for the listener and sometimes makes the listener think or pisses them off. But like you said earlier, they still listen. And he's the number one show in Tampa. And there's a reason why. And it's the dynamics of that show. And that's my opinion. Again, I'm not a consultant. I'm not a program director.
So what I find fascinating about The Bone is that there's not much on like Wikipedia or online about it pre-2012 before they switched to talk radio. And there's a website called archive.org, and you can type in any website and see what it looked like at whatever day and whatever year. Like, you can't view everything because some of the things just don't show up. But like, what was The Bone like during like the mid early 2000s when it was like classic rock?
I came over in 2001, and it was just a corporate radio jukebox. And I'm not lying. It was, I think, less than 225 songs in rotation. Four sang Lynyrd Skynyrd, four sang Def Leppard, four sang Tom Petty, four sang Aerosmith, four sang AC/DC, all in heavy rotation. And it sounded to me horrible. But they paid my salary, and I came in and did my job and did it 100%. And I backed the team. And we did our job. We actually took down the number one classic rock station in the market, which was Thunder, by teaming up with our sister station, 107.3 The Eagle, shifting some music over there, strategizing and putting certain songs on The Bone. We blindsided them with both sides and took down the number one classic rock station in the market. So even being a dumpster fire of a classic rock station and playing so few songs, we still destroyed the number one station across the market. And that, you know, that's what kills me. And of course, 98 Rock always was up top with their morning show, so we didn't even try to attack them. We took off the number one classic rock station.
What was the vibe like of like the hallway? Because I know it's not been Hot 101.5 forever, and I know it was like, I see in the hallway, like Warm 94.9. Like, what were the different formats that were within that building?
Boy, you know, I've only worked at 107.3 and 102.5, and I started out at 107.3 when it was the Bay and not the Eagle. And we were more of a yacht rock station, which was perfect for the Tampa Bay area and was getting skyrocketing ratings. And everybody was going to a classic hits format. And so they took me off the Bay, and Chuck Beck was program director of 102.5. And said, I'd like to throw you on mornings. And I'm like, sure, as long as I still get paid. I'm not on the beach. I'll do what I got to do. And I was happy to do it. And I'm still with The Bone. And I've been through many changes with The Bone. As for other stations, when I came over, Hot 101.5 was jamming oldies, which was actually a pretty good format at the time. And I really liked it. So they would play some old funk music. They would play old disco. It was rhythm and blues. And, you know, old stuff like that, the jam and hits format. And 107.3 was the Bay. At one time, 97X was a smooth jazz station.
Really?
And that was years and years and years ago. And Magic 94.9, you said, is Warm. And they've been real softer in the past, but I like what they're doing now. You know, I really like the sound they put out and the talent on the air. You can't beat, I mean, Danielle in the mornings. I've known Danielle, I think, since she was a part-time or even an intern and was on 97X. And I've watched her grow, and she is really one of the best. I really like Danielle.
It was crazy to see in the trades this afternoon. Well, not crazy because it's expected, and I'm not saying it's a kiss the ass because I've worked in other buildings where the vice presidents wouldn't look you in the eye. It was so cool that Keith Lawless got some national attention because he's a great guy.
When I first started in that building, Keith Lawless was a salesman, account executive, sorry, and he was just getting ready to be promoted as a sales manager. I remember him when he was hitting the beat, and I've watched his career grow. And Bill Hendrick, who just left as our executive vice president of radio,
yeah,
I think that was his title. I remember when Bill's kids, I worked in Orlando with Bill when Bill was a sales manager. I remember going to his kids' Little League game, and his son's in college now, you know, and I remember these guys. And I remember watching Keith grow, you know, his career right there at Cox. And that's good because you know what that also shows? And you look at my longevity, you know, I'm celebrating this July, I believe it's July, 32 years with Cox. 32 years with the same radio company is almost unheard of. Ann Kelly has got 1 year over me at 33.
Have you known her the whole time?
I had spent half of my career was in Orlando. I was there 13 years, and then I came over here. So I've actually spent more time now in Tampa than Orlando. But you look at longevity, Cox does promote within the building. We've seen it with Danielle. We've seen it with Sam. With me, they see talent and they move them up.
Scotty the
and
body.
I think that's encouraging. Unfortunately, a lot of the board ops, and you know, come in the door right out of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Yes.
And they listen to Mike Helta. They listen to Miguel and Holly. They listen to Fish on 107.3 or whatever. And they think that's what they're going to do right away. And the free concert tickets and all the fun that comes with it. It ain't that way. And you know it. And I know it. My first job was part-time with Cox. And that included taking out the trash. That was years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you work your way up. So, you know, the example of Keith Lawless and me and everybody else. And I've been fired by this company 3 times, by the way.
Really?
And rehired. Rehired within a certain amount of time, so my benefits were instantly put back into place. And I never touched my 401k. I always left that. But, yeah, it's stupid. You know, just format changes and stuff. I didn't beat anybody up at work and get fired. I always left on good terms. So, yeah, I've been fired by this company. You know, I've been fired at the bone once. I've been rehired. You know, and it's not for anything malfeasance. It was just either budget or format change. And I'm cool, man. If they fired me tomorrow, I thank them for a great 32 years. I wouldn't badmouth them at all.
How much longer do you want to do it?
You know what? Anybody that gets to an age where they sound old, and, you know, and they just don't sound right behind the mic, that's ego. You know, you've worked this long. Hopefully you've saved your money. Lay back. Give somebody else a shot. Give somebody else that mic. Pass on the torch. But if you're on the air and you're old and you sound great and you're still drawing an audience and making revenue, which is really what it's all about, you're bringing in the ad dollars, have at it. Because some people don't want to retire. Some people retire and die the next day. That ain't going to be me, but I don't want to work till I'm 70.
That's what happened to Don Imus in a way. Like, he retired at 76 and then died 18 months later.
Yeah, it's not only, you know, you got some guy that worked in a factory for General Motors for 40 years. And he still wants to work, still wants to be useful. Hey, it's mandatory retirement. What happens within a week? Dies at home of a heart attack. You know? But that's every individual, you know, is different. And some people want to work till they're 70 and may be able to do it and pull it off and make the revenue and the ratings. I don't want to be 70 and working. So when am I going to retire? I don't know. I ain't doing it tomorrow. I sure as hell can't afford it.
So would you do it till like what if like the money kept being an issue, but you just didn't want to do it anymore? Would you just give up and get another job?
Well, I wouldn't be stupid. I would look at my opportunities that I have. I would have to look at, you know, I qualify for my pension at Cox, you know. I'm already fully vested at 20 years. I don't want to touch that early because the sooner you touch it, the less you get, you know. And I don't want that. I'm not old enough ever to qualify for Social Security, so I couldn't draw on that. Do I want to touch my 401k and survive? Well, I could liquidate that, but pay tax tag title. I could only survive a couple of years. So yeah, I'd have to find another job. Or I could start my own voiceover business here at home like every other radio person without work. And I already do some of that. I do have a home studio.
How much voiceover do you do?
I don't do as much as I used to. When I lived in Orlando, I used to do a lot. I was a client of the Associated Entertainment Network, who was able to get me some gigs at Disney and Universal and some nationwide stuff, which was really nice. That pays great. One of the first recording studios that I did one of my real professional jobs was Fat Planet Recording. And it's a professional music studio, and they do voice acting in there as well. And I actually got to work in some of the same studios that NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys had recorded in, and several rap groups had come up from Miami to record in. And there I am doing a voiceover for a carpet store in Tennessee, which I think is still being used. Because every once in a while, I'll hear from somebody who's driving through Nashville, and they'll say, "Hey, man, are you doing a commercial for a carpet store?" And I'm like, "Man, I did that 35, 38 years ago. And they're still playing it." And I couldn't even name the damn carpet store. I'd kind of like to drive up and say, "Geez, man, I hope I'm making you some money, because I think I got a $25 talent fee for that." And back in the day, 25 bucks for a 30-second read was, that was good money.
Now, when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy in radio to be?
That I wasn't an asshole. You know, I've never tried to have an ego or a big head, and I hope I don't. And I hope people call me out if I ever act like I do. As you said earlier, you see me in the building, you see me in the hallway. I treat everybody equal until you piss me off or piss on me. And if you piss me off, I'm going to tell you why and talk to you about it. Maybe we can still continue to get along. But I basically do get along with everybody. I'm not a dick. I'm not a nasty person. I may say nasty things, you know, without the filter on. But I just hope they remember that I'm a good guy, really. Not a dick.
Now, where can...
As for career legacy, I worked hard. I worked hard. You know, I cut my chops just like everybody else. I wasn't handed any favors. Nobody, you know, said, "Oh, let's pick this guy over this guy." I had to go to auditions. I had to, back in the day, send tapes out. I had to go on interviews to be let down. And that would probably happen today if I was fired tomorrow. I would have to go on more interviews and get that butterfly in your gut that you have in your car as you're sitting there waiting to walk in the building. And have to sit down and have a 21-year-old kid ask me about my values and life and things like that, being interviewed by a child. Oh, Christ, I don't know, Ryan, if I could do that.
Of course not.
I think at that point I'm going to go sell hammers at Home Depot. And nothing wrong with that, brother. It's like, I don't know if I could put on a suit and tie and go do an interview with a child who's got some ideas that I just, you know, I might, let's say, trigger one of his stressors just in the job interview, and I'd never get the gig.
Well, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show.
We're done?
I mean, you want to keep going?
No, I know. I just did. Time flew by. I didn't even look. 28 minutes. Okay. Jeez, man. It's been great. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Anytime. And when I do get my own show on the weekend, I want to have you on for something. I'm not sure what it would be, but I have ideas.
You know, I didn't know this because honestly, I don't get listen to a lot of shows outside of the Calta show. I get a pop in every once in a while because when I'm in my car, I live so short away. I may listen to 5 seconds of the radio by the time I get home from work or if I'm on the weekends, but I don't get to hear a lot of shows. But somebody said something about Roger and JP, and maybe you've heard this, was talking to Monica about a coupon show. And coupon? I think that's a great idea. I didn't know Monica was a coupon hoarder.
She is one. Yeah.
Oh dude, I can take you. Best place to go. I'll give you a tip. Walgreens. Walgreens will not only take a manufacturer coupon, if there's a Walgreens coupon, digital, online, or in the book in the store, they'll use both coupons. And Dawn dishwashing detergent was on for 99 cents. I had a 50 cent coupon, another 50 cent coupon. They owed me a penny. That's shopping, my friend. Ask anybody. I get the ads from Publix. I get Winn-Dixie, and I sit down my coupons and what's BOGO? Just stocked up on my protein bites from Jimmy Dean. Those were $5.79 this week at Winn-Dixie. I ran over and got two more boxes. and I had a coupon. So when I think it was Calta mentioned it, and I said, I didn't know Monica was a coupon hoarder. I'm a coupon hoarder. And I'm not a dick about it. I'm not one of these people that hold you up at the register. You know those people, the ones that don't have their shit together, they don't have their coupons out, or their coupons are expired and they're trying to use them. I got my shit together. I used to actually put the coupon on top of the product on the conveyor belt for the cashier at Publix to make it that easy. And they asked me to stop doing it because sometimes the cashier didn't see the coupon. She would pick up the box and it would fly over her shoulder or drop on the floor. And there I am going, my coupon.
Sorry about that. You're a fascinating guy, Slater. You, whenever I think I've known everything about you, you continue to teach me more. You continue to teach me more. I never knew you were a coupon guy.
Oh yeah. Well, you know where I work. I'm in radio. I don't True. Make a whole lot of money. And you know, got to have a little money in the budget for the entertainment side of life. You know, you can't just sit at home. You got to go out and do things. That costs money. So if I can save 50 cents on a can of peas here and a dollar on a can of cat food there, that's a $1.50 draft down at the bar, my friend.
Well, before I let you go, let's do this formally. Where can people find your show?
102.5 The Bone, weekday mornings, 5 to 6. I like to consider myself the opening act for the Mike Calta Show, and it's a pleasure to do that. I love the Calta Show. It's the number one show in Tampa Bay, and it's an hour of just me and talking about the news and sometimes my opinion, and try to you know, present it in a news-like way because of my background, which I have the ability to do, but also try to have fun with it. And I hope people like it, and I hope it's entertaining to some degree. And it's great to be a lead-in for Mike.
Well, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. It's one of those things where I've been thinking about doing this for years, but I finally made it happen, Captain.
Good for you, man, and keep chugging along. Good things are down the road. You know it.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
All right. Take care, Ryan.
All right. See you, Slater.
All right, buddy. Bye.